it's time. It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Monday, Styles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m. Nate Littlefield behind the glass for us today as we get you ready for Kings Grizzlies. We also tie a bow on the Knicks, the grinded out Knicks who came to Golden 1 Center and did what the Knicks do. They made Golden 1 Center their home. They made Golden 1 Center the garden, okay? They felt very comfortable. That's what they do. They make teams play their game. With that being said, there were a lot of opportunities that the Kings had that they weren't able to capitalize on. Maybe it's because of what we discuss on this show, the fact that the confidence wasn't where it should have been. You've already missed a couple shots. There are calls that aren't being called. We got a two-minute report because we know that that is always something somebody wants to hear after the game is over. They treat it like the Seahawks. If I foul on every play, there's a pace of play. They're not going to call everything. Chris Watkins, how you doing? How was your weekend?
It was good. It was, yeah. I saw you out on Saturday.
You saw me in the wild.
Hanging out after the Knicks game. It was wild. It wasn't just you. It was not just you. Saturday was a crazy day at Doco. All it was missing was a beam. If there was a beam, honestly, might have gotten towards, you know, we needed some crowd control out there because it was popping out there. It was an interesting game, kind of boring in a way. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's the way that the Knicks want to play, both teams scoring under 100. But I told you before the show, I said it on the post game that night. Just I was ready to move on from that game the second it was over, just because the Knicks play like nobody else. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not freaking out. It would have been great to get the result, but at the end of the day, Kings are still in sixth today. So,
yes.
You know, much to do about nothing.
Yes, obviously we have pocket watching, and we will discuss the Suns, who continue to have tough matchups and continue to lose a lot the tough matchups. You do have to see the Knicks again, though, in Madison Square Garden. Yeah. So I guess the way it sounds right now, not
in
to
the
say
old
that,
Mecca.
That's right.
You know, Golden 1 Center is the new Mecca.
That's right. So Maybe the takeaway is, hey, if this is just going to be a tough situation for the Kings, again, let's hope that they take care of business against the Grizzlies of the world and these lesser teams that they have this week. I believe they have the Wizards as well. A couple easier teams. You have to take advantage because the Knicks, I believe that is part of that April stretch, which is going to be pretty rough for the Kings and the Suns. So who can, and don't forget the Mavericks as well. So who can have enough basically put on layaway or enough in the chamber to be able to use that if case of emergency if you lose to the Knicks? And I believe they have the Celtics out there in April as well. Also, we're giving away more tickets. We gave away comedian tickets last week, more comedian tickets this week. Hannibal Buress, Live Nation has teamed up with Sactown Sports for your chance to see Hannibal Buress at the historic Crest Theater in downtown Sacramento. March 22nd, this week, all you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline at 1 p.m. and we will take care of that. We get that at noon?
I think so.
Okay, yeah.
Sure.
It's at noon, even an hour earlier because Nate's the boss, and he said so.
You said
an
that show's
hour
on Friday?
Early.
Wow.
It's on Friday.
I can't wait to get paid like the boss.
That's right. Hey, keep grinding. Just keep grinding.
I'll never stop.
You keep doing this on the fastest-growing show in Sacramento, and, you know, good things will happen for you. Good things aren't happening, unfortunately, for the Giants as they get ready to start the season. They move on from Rennell Brooks Moon, who has been with the team for 24 years.
That's
so
crazy.
Growing up, Rennell was on a local radio station in the Bay Area. And my dad, when he would be driving us to school, he would play it every single day. So I was very familiar with Rennell. And then as I started going to more Giants games, I'm like, man, this is pretty cool. Yeah. She followed me on Twitter. I was very excited about it about a year and a half ago. And she even said congrats when I had the baby and all that. So love Rennell. And this move is kind of head scratching. The Giants don't even have a replacement in set. The season is going to start pretty soon. And there are already rumblings about the Giants possibly walking this back. I don't know what that looks like. All I know is that's what I'm seeing and that's what I'm hearing from some of the people that I know in the Giants room. So we will discuss all of that and get your thoughts for all you Giants fans out there. 916-339-1140. Going to open up the phone lines, of course, as well. And the big move, and again, we'll break this down more, but the big move finally happened, or maybe it's not as big as you thought. The Steelers get Justin Fields for a fourth round pick that is could also be a sixth round pick or something like that. And he is, as of right now, going to sit behind Russell Wilson. Right. I guess, Chris, you kind of get a bit of a victory lap because I clearly overshot Justin Fields' value.
Yeah, man. Everybody had their chance. I mean, the Patriots moved on. They traded Mac Jones to Jacksonville. The Raiders looked at him, said, I'll take Gardner Minshew. Vikings have taken Sam Darnold and look to be taking somebody in the draft. So everybody had an opportunity to go get that guy, Justin Fields, and everybody said I'm willing to take my chances elsewhere. So it'll be interesting. I do think he's still, like, as a backup quarterback, he's one of the best five backup quarterbacks out there, right? Like, I mean,
you'd have to say
he's
that,
a high level backup even still. You know, it's the second quarterback market. These guys usually, if they don't pan out in their first stint as a quarterback, it's like Sam Darnold. You're going to find a backup and a backup spot, and then you just got to kind of hope that you can turn this. You just see what Baker Mayfield did last season. Mm-hmm. That's the hope, is if you're Justin Fields, is that, you know, Russell Wilson either, I mean, you're not rooting for, but he either gets hurt or he doesn't play well enough. You get thrown in there. Maybe you make a couple things happen. You just got to really, with a Mike Tomlin team, it's just about getting to 9 wins, and it's a successful season. And you know, you just hope that they bet on you moving forward. But it's a good situation for him. But of course, it's definitely not the situation I think he was expecting at the start of the offseason.
That is not why he was jumping up and down in that famous Instagram video. Yeah, and the one thing is, you're now in that rehab assignment. You're basically a JUCO guy, rehab assignment type guy. And what we've seen with these rehabilitation QBs is that even if your team is successful, you'll get another look, right? I mean, you saw what happened with Mitch Trubisky. He goes to the Bills after he gets run out of Chicago. Didn't play a down, but he's attached to the Josh Allen greatness, and Pittsburgh decides, all right, we'll give him a chance. Sam Darnold, I mean, he took a couple snaps when the Niners destroyed some teams. Okay, you're a part of greatness. You went to a Super Bowl. We'll give you a shot in Minnesota. So a couple different ways for this to end for Justin Fields, but honestly, another win for the Niners, who got more out of Trey Lance's deal. And maybe that's because there's less tape.
Sure.
Or Jerry Jones is just not the best GM in the world. So we'll see what happens there. We will break all of that down. But getting back to the Knicks, I mean, we're going to have to talk about it, Chris. But the look away, and I heard Dave talking about it with Frankie Cardicelli a couple hours ago, or about an hour ago, the look away when Brunson caught Keon slipping. We have a different take on it, or you have a different take on it, on why that happened and how much of that is actually on Keon versus, honestly, the rest of the team or what had been happening throughout the game.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that it was unfortunate, first and foremost. Like, we know Keon's been a revelation defensively these past couple games, and so for him to kind of be getting memed on this national stage, like, it's I'm sure Keon's not going to be affected by it too much, but like, it's just got to be I guess embarrassing's the word, but like, I you know, it's just unfortunate. But yeah, I mean, I think that it's really telling that, you know, Keon clearly didn't know if a screen was coming or not. And I think you can say, what is that guy doing? He needs to focus on the ball, not in that time. But to me, that's a sign of his teammates weren't calling out screens all game. Because if even in pickup, it's like right, left, screen, right. You let your teammates know. So every time there's a screen coming, they're aware of which side, so they're not going to get blindsided by it. Mm-hmm. The Kings clearly aren't calling out screens because if they were, Keon wouldn't have the fear of looking around to say, if a screen's coming, I'm going to have to diagnose it myself. So it does kind of show a bit of a crack in the armor when it comes to communication, which isn't the first time Mike Brown, specifically when talking about the issues on defense, hasn't been as much this year. But last year, he would talk all the time about how the communication on this team was lacking on the defensive end. Sabonis is apparently, I think Mike Brown compared him to Draymond Green when it comes to his communication skills on the defensive end. But clearly, I mean, it was not there in that last moment because Keon, but I don't think by any fault of his own, like the Knicks were setting those high screens the entire game. So he was ready for it. He was looking out for it. And again, I just don't think anybody was looking out for him.
When we return, continuing to talk about the Knicks and what happened, our initial takeaways, we got the good old 2-minute report to make you feel better. And then we turn the page to the Grizzlies tonight. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Stephen A. out here poking the bear, or was it just constructive criticism? This is from Brian Windhorse. Zion Williamson has reportedly lost 25 pounds since the in-season tournament. I don't feel
the word is out.
Comfortable talking about someone's weight, but here we are. I've got people in New Orleans telling me that since December, when the in-season tournament happened, that Zion Williamson has lost 25 or more pounds, and his performance has been excellent.
Interesting.
Maybe the Stephen A. stuff was, you know, obviously Stephen A. is going to make jokes, but he always said that it was coming from a good place, and I'm not saying Zion looked in the mirror and said, I'm going to prove Stephen A. wrong, but maybe it helped. Maybe it helped. I don't know.
I don't want to credit bullying for the reason why Zion got his act together. I mean, I'm not saying it's not true. You know, a lot of guys, I think, lose weight throughout the duration of the season.
The Pelicans were, I mean, the Pelicans' Twitter account was literally going back and forth with Stephen A.
Yes.
This has been a thing.
No, it's absolutely a thing. I don't know if necessarily Stephen A's bullying directly affect. I mean, I just think in general, guys play their way into shape.
Right.
Like Luka does it every season pretty much until recently. I just think, if anything, this was always Zion's plan was, you know, I'm not going to show up in the best of shape at the start of the season, but I'm going to get there eventually. And it hasn't worked out for him in the past, but this season he's been the healthiest he's ever been. So far. Whatever's working, I guess you got to tip your hat and compliment him. But it's, you know, maybe there is like some coincidence there or some truth to it, but I will not. I don't want to co-sign that.
I agree. And look, the Pelicans they're rolling, man, and they're playing some good ball. As far as I'm concerned, they're that dark horse team that can really make some noise in the playoffs. I know last week Jorge Sedano was on the Drive Guys and a couple people started talking about the Kings being that dark horse team. To me, not yet. And we will discuss Hopium and Keon Ellis and Kevin Huerter, all of that. But let's get to this. Before we get to the 2-minute report, got Folsom Mike here, Chris, saying, boring, you're killing me. That was maybe the best game of the year. Every bucket was hard. And it felt like it meant something. That's how you want to play hoop. And I feel like while I was watching, fantastic game. We are better than the free throws. If we play D and get that flowing on offense, that's a championship recipe. It was definitely a playoff atmosphere. It just wasn't the most aesthetically pleasing game in the world.
I'm not going to say in a game where one team shoots 43% from the field, the other one shoots 35%. One team shoots 28% from three, the other shoots 27%. That's
Is that 80s basketball?
That's not aesthetically pleasing.
But is that 80s basketball?
Yeah, I mean, it's more like, yeah, the late 90s. I mean, it's that is New York Knicks basketball is what it is. Mm-hmm. I think the game itself, like, there was entertaining elements of it for sure. But again, like, I just don't think that that's necessarily what, it might have been what Mr. Naismith was thinking of when he initially made basketball, but that's not what basketball is. With these, like, I don't know. It was not the most aesthetically pleasing game. I'm not going to back down from that.
No. But how it
was
felt,
exciting yes, at the end of
yes,
the game.
How it
but,
felt yeah. was exciting. Yes. How we got there, maybe not so much. Not and so part much. Of that is because there were fouls that were called and there were fouls that were not called. The two-minute report came out on Sunday, yesterday, and it says Ananobi, this is when there was a double dribble, that double dribble call on Domantas Sabonis. This is from the two-minute report. Ananobi reaches in and comes across Sabonis's face, affecting his SQBR, speed, balance, quickness, rhythm, in the lane, the last two-minute report indicated. So, obviously, that would have been a foul, and the Kings wouldn't have lost the ball. I know how we feel about these two-minute reports. At least they are acknowledging when they get something wrong. But this is literally what we discussed last week, when it's somebody who has a brand of good defense, they get the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
It's a whole team. Mm-hmm. Hartenstein or Hartenstein, was caressing. Remember back in the day when you would when you would dance up on somebody? He literally caressed Sabonis' hip.
Yeah.
Hip, literally, like Nelly was on. It's getting hot in here.
And pulled him
down.
Yeah.
You go, hey, you into this? Done.
It was
done.
And
there was no call.
Nothing. Not
no
a single call.
It was so bad. Yeah. And I felt like it was egregious from Jump Street.
It was, yeah.
The Knicks, I'm telling you, they are the Legion of Boom in the NBA. If we foul you on every play, I'll dare you to call every foul.
Yeah.
I dare you. And you don't.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I think, if anything, I give the Kings credit for hanging around in a game like that, because I think a lot of people this year have called this team soft and would say that this is a game where they would just get absolutely outclassed. And, you know, for the most part, they definitely did not play their game, but they were in it. I mean, if that OG call goes differently, who knows how that possession goes? Who knows how the end of the game goes? And that's why I'm not freaking out about the game. Again, the Knicks play a very particular style of basketball that nobody else plays. And, you know, the Kings were playing their style the entire game and still almost beat the Knicks quite literally at their own game. So I'm taking it as a positive. I think, you know, of course there were some areas in which things could have gone different, but, you know, Sabonis got absolutely killed the entire game, was getting slapped in the face. You met from the start. That Hartenstein play was literally in the first quarter, in like the first 4 minutes of the game. And, you know, they kept that physicality. Sabonis only goes to the line five times. Like, I'm honestly happy that the Kings even looked that good in that kind of game. So, you know, even still, you got to look at the fact Knicks only scored 98 points. The Kings haven't held opponents under 100 many times this year. You could argue, I mean, if Jalen Brunson just has a regular game and isn't the best player on the floor, doesn't score pretty much half of their points, the Kings win that one easy.
Were you surprised?
You know, he can't live in that world.
Well, and we can, are you surprised that for a team that blitzes so much, are you surprised we didn't see the blitz earlier with Jalen, especially on a team like that?
It's kind of tough. I mean, because again, like, blitzing gets ball out of guys' hands, but it also makes it 4-on-5. Like, you're then allowing somebody to shoot wide open threes.
But OG couldn't hit. I mean, when they did blitz a little, OG could not hit anything.
I think you're just afraid that Dante DiVincenzo starts to really start hitting. Man. I mean, he was cold as hell. He was 3 of 12 from three. He was pulling them. But I think the fear was that, hey, you give these guys a couple open threes with how they're locking us down on the defensive end, it's kind of tough. Maybe if the Kings were flowing a little bit more offensively, if they're saying, hey, we'll blitz you just so you pick up the pace because we're trying to get into a high-scoring game. But I think once it was clear that the Kings' shots weren't falling. I think they were like, well, if we're going to go possession per possession, maybe we shouldn't give them open looks.
To be fair, a lot of times in those Herculean efforts, like you see from Jalen Brunson, a lot of times teams lose that game, right?
Yeah.
Because that means you're not getting anything from anybody else. Exactly. So really, and this is what you see a lot with LeBron and a lot of the catalysts on teams, hey, if he's a scorer, we'll live with that, right? Yeah. If you actually look at the Kings' defensive game plan, not really too many holes to poke. To your point, the issue was that you couldn't make your shots.
Yeah.
Defensively,
you did enough. You did what you need to do. Absolutely.
You did enough defensively. They were just hoping at some point something has to fall.
Yeah.
I mean, and we'll get into it. We see you coming on the text line. Obviously, Keon Ellis and Kevin Herter continuing that discussion. But there were some shots where Keegan, and I was there with my friends.
Oh, man.
I was there with my friends, and they say, Alan, did we love the – I said, we just wait for this Keegan Murray chant.
Yeah.
And about – halfway through the game, they said, it would be really nice to hear the chant again. I'm like, well, he's got to make a shot in order to hear the chant. They didn't even get to hear what gets played when Kevin Herter makes a shot because he didn't. When we return, we continue the conversation. Is the three-guard lineup officially overrated? What went wrong against the Big Apple? And Domas talks about the physicality. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Get to some of these texts on the text line from the 916. Aside from Herter continuing to look like hot garbage, I was left wondering after the game if Brunson has leaped ahead of Fox as a better point guard. I think it's close, and he might have it this year. You know, I never see Brunson. I haven't seen him in the MVP ladder at all. I don't think maybe his numbers aren't there, and neither De'Aaron is not in that category anymore. Yeah, I think it's something that's going to be a continued conversation, very similar to Sabonis versus Anthony Davis. Somebody can be having a better season but not be the better point guard. And obviously markets matter. I would say that most people would probably pick Jalen Brunson right now because, I mean, he has to do more on that team offensively, but he is doing more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's hard to say, well, De'Aaron would be doing more if he had to on the Knicks. It's hard to put players on different teams, but ultimately I would counter and say, well, imagine if Brunson had the shooting and shooters that De'Aaron Fox had.
Right.
So I think you'd have to put Jalen Brunson ahead of De'Aaron Fox this season just based on moments. De'Aaron just hasn't had a lot of moments like he had last season. But I think De'Aaron is better.
Yeah, I think you said it right. I think Brunson's having the better season, but I think De'Aaron's overall the better player. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, Brunson was the best player on the floor on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the big reason why the Knicks won. So, sometimes head-to-heads, we can't do the Anthony Davis Sabonis head-to-head and say that says something and then not pull anything out of this one. Like, you know, you can definitely make the argument if De'Aaron Fox was, if I just told you, hey, the Kings, in that Kings-Knicks game, De'Aaron Fox was the best player on the floor, I kind of think the Kings end up winning that game if that would have been the case. So, you know, you could look at it like that, or you can just look at the fact that Brunson had 42 points and say, look, I mean, that guy, he's got his team, like you said, in a better, actually, situation. They now have two more wins than the Kings do this year, and he's not having that Domas that De'Aaron has. De'Aaron's got the Sabonis. We've seen De'Aaron kind of go a little bit colder here recently and lean a bit more on Sabonis. Jalen Brunson has not had that luxury, and his team has not slipped at all with Julius Randle out, without Mitchell Robinson out. I'm not sure if the De'Aaron Fox we've seen this season would be able to hold this team afloat if Sabonis was out. And I know it's in an Eastern Conference that's a little bit lighter than the West, but I still kind of feel like De'Aaron would probably – and it doesn't help that you know, he's not, Kevin Huerter isn't playing or shooting at the level that Dante DiVincenzo is. I'm sure that helps Brunson a bit. But, yeah, I just kind of feel like Brunson's having the better year right now.
Yeah, and one thing I can't stress enough, as obvious as this sounds, is that it is a make-or-miss league.
Yep.
And there were so many shots on Saturday. They were, the Kings were essentially 1 to 2 shots away from putting the Knicks to sleep all game. Yeah. And they just couldn't get them to fall. Mm-hmm. De'Aaron, some of those mid-ranges, he's normally just butter
they
on.
They closed that game terribly, too.
Yeah.
There was like a long De'Aaron 2. There was a Malik 3 that was rushed, and then the Sabonis turnover. It was a weird game. Yeah, I'm looking at it here. They finished with 17 points in that fourth quarter. Like they didn't have it. Like if we want to just simplify it to that, I just think that it would have been if you win that game, you're counting your blessings and you're saying, "Oh my gosh, thank you, thankfully we were able to just kind of get out of that night with a victory." But losing it, I just kind of think you can chalk it down to how many nights. Are the Kings going to shoot 27% from three and 35% from the field and win? Probably never.
Yeah. And again, you got to see them again, and we'll find out if it was just a cold night or if it was the Knicks doing what they do best. And with most things in life, it's probably a little bit of both. As we continue the conversation, the three-guard lineup, and what you thought about it, Chris. You know, I haven't been too high on it. I think that it's cute, it's worked out a little bit, but you know, I haven't been too high on it after what you saw in New York, and we'll get to see it again tonight against a completely different team and easier opponent. Mm-hmm. But do you think it's something that the Kings will be able to lean on throughout the duration of the season, or let's see what this looks like a couple more times and then then we might move on from it.
I mean, I think that we'll probably see it more. I think, you know, Keon's definitely played a lot better. I think they like Keon. I mean, Keon played just under 30 minutes the other day, and Kevin only played just under 16. So I think we're going to see a lot of Fox, Keon, and Malik Monk on the floor at the same time. I think you'll probably see Davion thrown in there.
But I don't mind that. I don't mind. Sorry, I guess I should be more specific. Fox, Keon, and Fox, Keon, and Monk, I'm good with, okay? Monk, Keon, and Davion, I don't want to see that anymore.
Yeah, that one's tough. That one is, and we've talked about it before, but that one's kind of reliant on one, if not both, of Keon and Davion hitting shots.
Yeah.
It still can work, but yeah, I mean, they just have to be really excellent defensively because that then means that, you know, it's really on Monk.
It was those three, Keegan and Sabonis.
Exactly.
And it was rough.
That's going to stagnate.
Yeah.
Like, you can't have, that's just too many guys who don't, like, I mean, Malik is the only person, really. Malik and Davion, I guess, are the only two who can bring it down. Of course, you're going to give Sabonis the ball a ton when De'Aaron's not out there, but it's just that's kind of putting a lot of pressure on everything to go through Sabonis and Malik. I agree. I think that's got to be a lineup where maybe if you're just trying to get stops for a couple minutes, maybe if you have a lead that you're comfortable with. But that's not one where, De'Aaron Fox checks out with 6 minutes left. The Kings are down 6 to 10 points. I don't feel good about that lineup maybe making a comeback and turning this thing back into a game by the second quarter.
No, let's hear from Domas, who had some things to say when he was asked about the Kings' physicality. He actually had a positive outlook.
Oh, yeah, I love it. You know, I just wish we won the game. You know, they kind of punched us in the mouth in third quarter. You know, we came back. We fought back. It's something, you know, that I'm happy for our team doing, you know, being physical back, you know, and we see this team again in a couple of weeks in New York, you know, and I think it's great that we get this kind of matchup before the playoffs.
Did it feel like the Kings could handle the physicality? To me, it did. But at the same time, when you say that and then say they handled the physicality well, they just didn't shoot well. Doesn't that kind of mean that they did not handle it that well? Was it the legs? from chasing everybody around? Was it the eyesight from getting punched and not getting calls? Domas, you know, almost left with a black eye in some of these situations. So I think they handled it as far as, I don't think they got punked.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they got punked.
Right.
But you still have to make shots in order to say that you actually handled it well. Yeah. I'm sorry, Chris. And yeah, we're going to break this thing down. But to set the tone, Kevin Huerter, that first quarter. No, I'm serious now. This man,
he's still waiting to shoot.
He could have made dinner.
Still sizing it up.
He could have made dinner. He could have overcooked a steak. Yeah. He could have then got another steak and then cooked it properly.
Yeah.
Refire the steak. That's how much time Kevin Huerter had. And I think all of us literally had anxiety to just say, this honestly has to go in. It wasn't even really that close.
No, I think he short-armed it.
He short-armed it, and he almost wedgied it. And after that, I thought, I don't know how he comes back from this. Yeah. And ultimately, he gets 16 minutes.
Yeah, no, it was definitely one of those shots where, like you're saying, like, I think everybody in the arena collectively paused.
Mm-hmm.
And then after he missed it, it was one where you could just hear the murmurs. You can hear the, oh.
And he can hear
that. And he hears it all. You can feel it get to him. And it's tough, man. I mean, being a shooter, you know, when your game is that reliant on making shots and it's just not falling, even the wide, wide, wide open ones that you can make with your eyes closed, even when those aren't going in, that's when it's, you know, it starts to get concerning. And that's where you see, again, Mike Brown playing Keon 30 minutes and Kevin playing half of that. It, you know, that's where you start to wonder, like, okay, where, I know everything Mike Brown said here, he's going to keep throwing Kevin in the lineup. He doesn't think that there's time. He thinks that it's kind of crazy to even question it. But when these things start happening and you see the minutes start to be affected the way that they have been, this isn't a new trend. It's just like, I kind of feel like they're losing, not losing patience, but that leash, that rope is getting really tight with Kevin.
When it comes to the confidence, my question is, how are you, as Kevin Huerter, any more confident getting 16 minutes than just not starting, right? This is about the mental side of things, do we really think that Kevin feels, well, I'm still starting, so everything's good when I'm getting 16 minutes?
Yeah.
So we're doing that at 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock is Kevin or Keon, and we want your calls. That's at 11 o'clock, Kevin or Keon. We take a trip around the league when we return and continue the conversation. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Don't miss your chance at 12 p.m. At 12 p.m. Tickets to see Hannibal Buress, March 22nd. So Friday, Live Nation has teamed up with, and March is flying by the way. Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports for your chance to see Hannibal Buress at the Historic Crest Theater in downtown Sacramento, March 22nd. All you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline at 12 p.m. And we will pick the lucky number at that time. I don't know who's going to pick it yet. Maybe it'll be Nate. Maybe Nate will pick the lucky number at 12 p.m. if you want your chance to see Hannibal Buress. A lot of good comedians making their way out to Sacramento. And why not? I'm telling you, man, it was lit yesterday.
Saturday.
Well,
maybe yesterday
as well. There was, the traffic was everywhere. There was somebody, I saw somebody walking up. Okay, so you know when you exit J Street, and you know how, I guess if you're exiting it from north of the city. So you exit, and there's a really long, you exit on J Street, and it's a really banana-y exit, right? Yeah. So there's traffic as soon as you exit on J Street, and we got in an hour before the game, and there's already traffic. There's somebody walking up the freeway ramp, up the freeway. And at first, nobody knew what was going on. I'm talking to my wife. I said, look at this. And she said, well, maybe they're trying to get to Old Sacramento. I'm like, Old Sacramento? She's on the freeway. It was lit in the city.
It was crazy.
On Saturday. Yeah. We had a great time. Obviously, we didn't get the beam, but my friends, we had a great. Oh, do you want the update on
the seating?
Yes,
the seating. I'm dying. I saw your story.
Yes.
I'm dying to hear about
it. Okay, so the update on the seating was that I was overruled by the boss, and she said to go ladies on the outside, guys on the inside.
That was Chris's.
You guys were right. Yeah, sure Chris was right.
Yeah, sure was.
Yeah.
I said, I don't know. I'm thinking
you didn't take Steven's advice?
Didn't take Steven's advice. Yeah, no. Yeah, I actually played the segment for her, and she was cracking up. And then after I played the segment for her, we got down there, and she said, all I can think about is the segment. And then she said, we're going girls on the outside, guys.
Yeah. Nice. How did the walk down, was there a lot of pre-prep? She just
bossed. She said, this is what we're doing. I'm going first. You go after me. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Here, Alan thought he was in charge.
That's right. I was like, that's right.
That's adorable.
So there you go. But it was a great time. And according to what Chris is telling me off the airwaves, we're just getting started in Sacramento. This is how it is in the summer.
Just wait for the summer.
I'm telling you, man.
I mean, it gets really hot, so you got to be ready for that.
My Bay Area friends, they're coming up. I'm showing them a whole new world.
Yeah.
I mean, this is crazy. And then I haven't even done stuff on the river yet.
Yeah. No, bring them out. Oh, the river during summer is a movie. Okay.
I cannot wait.
But have them come out when the Kings are in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They don't have to have tickets, but just, I'm telling you, last year at Doco Area, pre-game one, it was, I think that tip-off was at 3 or something, and we were out there at 10.
You couldn't move around. You couldn't.
Shoulder to shoulder to shoulder.
Shoulder, shoulder, shoulder.
Shoulder, shoulder.
It was insane.
Are we willing to call Sacramento downtown right now based on how it's been built up with Golden 1? It's probably one of the best-kept secrets in California. Well, a young person that can go out in downtown Sacramento, like I said, best kept secret.
It's very easy to navigate.
Dude. Yes.
That's what I would say.
Oh, you get in, get out.
Get in, get out. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's just K Street you're talking about. And that's, it's
Midtown
it's a really good hub. Midtown's got some spots.
Yeah.
R Street, you can hang out all night on R Street.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of places, definitely. I mean, if you're a college kid,
if you're going to
Sac State, you've got plenty of places, plenty of different options.
The problem with San Francisco is that it's 7 miles wide, right? But it's a very annoying 7 miles.
And the streets are
walking
terrible.
We're out, and you just have to pick the area of San Francisco that you don't have to pick in Sacramento because it's smaller.
Yeah.
So you can get anywhere you want.
You could if you really want
to. If you decide, hey, Alan, okay, we're going to the city. Okay, we're in the Mission tonight.
Yeah.
You're in the Mission.
Yeah.
That's where you're at.
No, for sure.
You're not bouncing around too much. Oh, we're in North Beach. Oh, you're in North Beach.
Yeah.
Because, you look down and it's a 25-minute Uber to get 2 miles.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah, you can go straight from K Street. If you go all the way down K Street to where Crest Theater is, where you can find Hannibal Buress on Friday.
That's right.
Listen for tickets at 12 o'clock.
Yeah. Nicely done.
You can head right on to 16th. There's a couple places on 16th.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so easy. And I am not used to hearing my city referred to as that, but absolutely, in terms of going out, you can plan an easy weekend. If you're from the Bay, if you got people from Southern California who act like, Sacramento is so cute. What do you even do down there? You show them a nice Friday, Saturday night, they'll be like, wow, I had no idea. And let me know whenever y'all are going out because this thing is it is. I mean, it really
I got them
is
lining
legit.
Up. I got buddies hitting me up. Hey, when is the next time? When can I come back out to Sacramento?
You didn't even get a beam weekend.
That's right.
How many times have you been here before you moved here?
I went to a music festival about 5-6 years ago. This was actually
at Discovery Park or something.
It wasn't Soul Bloom wasn't even a thing yet. I forget the name of it, but this was so long ago. This was before Chance the Rapper balled out.
Wow.
This is before he blew up. Yeah. We saw Chance on a small stage.
Hmm.
So that was probably 6, maybe 7 years ago.
Oh, okay. I think that was that underneath the freeway and it had a Ferris wheel?
I think so.
Yeah.
I will find
that entire festival got shut down because it was one where it was pretty much a fire fest where they did not pay the artist.
Interesting.
Really?
Yes, they did not pay the artist.
I'm trying to see if
I think
was
the
it,
first 2016? Year they had Tyler the Creator was the headliner. And then I think, the next year, Chance was there. I feel like if we're talking about the same one, there was a really, it was kind of like.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, it was only for 2 years.
By the way, Chance got the key to Sacramento in 2017.
Oh, man. We're talking about Sacramento celebrities. Chance, got the key. Yeah. Because you always hear here, Sacramento, great place to live, bad place to visit.
Yeah, great place for families. That's not great place for young people.
I'm telling
that's
you,
why
man.
I asked you.
I've been out in Sac. I've been out in San. Now I haven't done the LA thing fully. Besides
LA's
a couple
an
trips,
idea.
But San Francisco, Oakland, that whole area, I've been out there, and I'm telling you right now, Sacramento can hang. Sacramento can definitely hang as we discuss the Kings and the. Kings trying to hang with the Knicks defense. Here is De'Aaron Fox talking about the Knicks and how he feels like the Kings handled it.
Obviously, not a great conversion rate for you guys tonight, but how do you feel like you guys did it creating looks?
I mean, I think we did a good job. I think we were able to get to the free throw line. Obviously, I mean, we held them to 29% from three, but we just weren't able to convert on those on the breaks that we had, and I felt like we got good looks, and I felt like, I feel like a lot of it we just didn't make shots. But that's a good defensive team, but you have to be able to capitalize on any of their mistakes, and I don't think we did a good job at that tonight.
Yeah, those open shots, and it was we talked about, like I said, at 11 we're doing Keon versus Kevin, but Keegan, all the K's, but Keegan as well. Had some open looks, and they just did not fall. Keegan Murray, I thought he was 2 for 7. He's actually 1 for 7 from three-point range, and they just wouldn't fall. De'Aaron Fox was the one that was 2 for 7.
Yeah.
Harrison Barnes, I mean, I'm glad Harrison was getting him up, but Harrison, 2 for 7. Somebody's got to knock those shots down. Funny enough, the only guy you could depend on was Sabonis, who was 1 for 1 from three-point land. But that's not going to butter your bread for enough time.
Yeah, no, I mean,
Malik Monk 3 for 9.
3 for 9. I think that's the big difference is the threes from if you look at the Laker game and then that Knicks game the other day. Keegan and HB were hitting from three. Mm-hmm. HB was 7 of 11 on Braun, or whatever it was, and they were. I thought he had a lot of Keegan too. I mean, Keegan had probably the most open looks of anybody, but I thought him and HB both had a lot of wide open looks that. They just missed. I mean, and that's what made, you know, I gave HB credit on when they played the Lakers. Yeah, he was open, but he still made the shots. That's still part of the battle. And you see on a game like Saturday, him and Keegan both had open looks. They just didn't hit them. And that's really, that's the difference in the game. I mean, if those guys hit some, put some pressure on the Knicks, those are the kind of things that can swing the game in the middle of it. And it just... It did not go down. Nobody had it. Nobody was in rhythm. It felt like HB was forcing shots. It definitely felt like De'Aaron was forcing some shots at times. And really, I think Malik didn't really have it going until the second half. It was offensively just probably one of their, if not the worst performance that they've had all year. And it's fitting. Like, it makes sense that it's against the Knicks, which is, again, why I'm not completely freaking out. But if anything, it again shows that this team just can't win a game where they're not hitting shots. They cannot play better defense than the team across from them, even if both teams aren't hitting.
Yeah, even with Keon Ellis getting heavy minutes, it was not enough to slow down Jalen Brunson and the Knicks. Let's get to TC, our guy TC, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, TC? What you got for us?
Hey, Styles. Chris, what's up, bro?
What's up, my guy? How you feeling?
Hey, look, hey, I'm going to get to the game for a minute, but just on Sac, man, for being Sac, going to race. Hey, Chris, check it out. Hey, Alan, you just getting on downtown Sac, bro. Hey, look, that's all. Hey, my whole life, bro, downtown Sac has always been one of the funnest spots to be at, and I'm from Sac. You get me? It's a few spots like that, though, but look, bring your people out here more, bro. Look, downtown Sac, like you said, Chris, hey, it get lit, and it's, hey, you can go anywhere down there, bro. Seriously, a lot of people be like, I don't want to go downtown, bro, the one-way streets, and it's all crazy. And then when you get down there, be like, oh, this is tight. I like this. Well, they got the arena, K Street built up. It's popping. You got Old Sac. Like you said, you go to R Street. It's all type of like bar. Hey, bro, it's a spot spot to be in. I'm not just trying to overhype because I'm from Sac, bro, but downtown Sac, like you said, your folks said it was lit. It's always going to be like that. Wait till the summer, bro. It's going to be blazing hot, but it's going to be going down. It's going to be a concert every night in the park down there, Caesar Chavez. Man, that's hey, right. Look, we can talk about this all day.
Right.
We're talking about Kings, though. You know what I mean? Check it out. I'm taking a different approach. I didn't like, but I did like the game. The reason why I like the game, because now I know that the guys can play a gritty game and they can almost win a gritty game. It was just a few tweaks that they needed to win that game. What I was most livid about that game was De'Aaron Fox settling for those three-pointers and Domas doing 100 pump fakes when you're under the basket, bro. Just shoot the ball. De'Aaron, get off the ball or go to the paint. Let Malik, because Malik's cooking now, right? Keon's hitting his open threes. We just got to realize when we're not hitting shots, okay, let's find a hot hand. Okay, down the stretch, Domas. If you're open, bro, the hell with passing the ball, bro. Go up with it. I don't want to see 100 pump fakes, bro. Just hit the layup.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
Yeah, thanks for the call, TC. And, yeah, downtown Sac, we are definitely ready for you. But you know what, Chris? Hartenstein, that guy fits the bill for the centers that give Domas issues.
Sure.
I'm not athletic, so I'm not falling for your pump fakes because
yep.
I ain't got nowhere to go.
Yep.
I can't
I'm
jump anywhere.
Grounded.
Yeah, yep. I'm staying
hold
grounded.
My ground. Yep.
And that was the issue. He's pump faking and Hartenstein is just saying, you can pump fake all you want.
Yeah,
I'm still gonna be here.
Gotta get through me.
I'm not trying to really get any block shots like that. So yeah, they were just one run away from winning that game. But to your point, that's probably how teams feel against the Knicks
every
single game.
Every time.
Every single game. When we return, it is time, continuing your calls, because yes, it's a battle of the K's. Who do you want in that starting lineup, Kevin Huerter or Keon Ellis? Your thoughts, our thoughts, and more. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.